Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and its clear testimony to Jesus. And we pray this morning that as we read this incident centered on him, you would open our hearts and minds afresh that we might see more of his glory. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, there is, I've seen a picture of it, an official road sign down in Essex which says straight on for Chelmsford on the A414 and right for the secret nuclear bunker. Some secret. A genuine sign somewhere in the English-speaking world reads like this: caution, water on road during rain. Well, what else would you expect? Anyway, of course, road signs are a common sight, and we depend on them to give us important information, sensible ones at least. And that's because a sign points to something that we need to know. Well, this morning we're beginning a new sermon series from the Gospel of John, a book that is sometimes known as the Book of Signs. And that's because John, the author, uses the term sign to describe certain amazing happenings brought about by Jesus. So, for example, we find him curing seriously ill people, controlling nature by walking on the water, as we'll see this morning, turning water into wine, and even raising someone from death. John seems to have shaped his whole book around seven such signs and the incidents surrounding them. The events then point, like a sign, to something vital about the one the book is about, Jesus, the Son of God. And it encourages those who see the sign to believe and keep believing in him. So John's use of the term sign is literally significant because we read about these remarkable incidents and we realise that we're not just encountering spectacular shows of power like a magician wowing the crowds. Rather, we're meeting a teacher working an acted message. Jesus is pointing to something very important, especially about himself. Well, do turn, if you've got a Black Church Bible near to you, to page 1069 as we look at this first of Jesus' signs. John chapter 2, page 1069. Now, of course, 2 weeks ago last Friday, our nation was gripped by a wedding. And it was a reminder, amongst many other things, that weddings can often be big social and cultural events. Well, so it seems they were in first century Palestine. Jesus and his disciples and Jesus' mother Mary were invited guests at the wedding, which took place in the village of Cana. Now, where not much is known about Cana, it doesn't exist in the same form these days, but it seems to have been an ordinary village, small houses with flat roofs, gardens and orchards, though there is some record that apparently they were well known for producing premium pomegranates. Well, Cana was on the dusty road to Lake Galilee, just a few miles from Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. Well, in the local custom of the time, the wedding of a young woman took place on a weekday, and the wedding ceremony itself then happened afterwards, after a wedding feast, should I say, in the evening. And then the celebrations went on for several days. So you can imagine how the sense of social blunder would have been huge when they ran out of wine. The wedding families were in big trouble, and there was no obvious way to sort it out. There were no off licenses to go and send someone off to get some extra bottles. You couldn't just get your mobile out and ring someone to bring some bottles along. There was no apparent way of sorting out the problem. But Jesus steps into the situation. He spots these large containers used in religious purification ceremonies. And he gave instructions to the servants to fill them up with water. And then water was then taken to the master of ceremonies to taste. And extraordinarily, the water had turned into choice wine. Well, what is the significance of the sign of Jesus turning water into wine? Well, John the author makes clear the ultimate purpose just after he told us what had happened. So verse 11 there in the reading. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So through his sign, Jesus shows his glory. That is that makes him great and unique. The essence of Jesus is being made known. Who he is, what he came to do, what he will one day finally bring about in God's purposes. Well, as we look at these miraculous signs over the coming weeks, it's these sorts of things that we shall be discovering. Jesus performed his sign, and John tells us his disciples believed in him. The sign revealed Jesus, and it drew forth trust, belief, reliance on Jesus. The active messages of the signs were a factor in helping these disciples see who Jesus really was, and they believed in him. And that is actually what John says the purpose of his whole book is. So right at the end of his book, and as he concludes, he says, John 20:31, these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. But are there particular things Jesus turning water into wine reveal about him and his glory? Well, this morning, let's set focus on two truths that seem to come from this sign itself and the sections around the incident. And the first thing to notice is that Jesus brings transformation. Now, the heart of this first sign is that ordinary water is changed into wine. And not simply more of the same sort of wine that they'd already drunk. Do you remember what the master of ceremonies says? Verse 9 there in the reading. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, and did not know where to come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. He's saying, look, no one normally serves the best wine when people have already had a few and can hardly tell the difference. But this is fantastic stuff that you brought out now. So do you see what happened? Jesus turned everyday water into not just supermarket plonk, but rather the finest chateau bottled vintage. Now, some people who read this story are surprised that Jesus would make known truth about himself at a party, and that the party would include wine and festivities. But we see here that Jesus is certainly no antisocial killjoy. John has already shown us in his introduction that Jesus is the very author of life. He is the life giver. As the one who, through whom all things were made, Jesus then affirms the good, wholesome reality of life. After all, as the Apostle Paul tells his assistant Timothy later in the New Testament, God created everything good. And he has given us good things richly to enjoy. And this affirmation of what is good in human life reminds us that Jesus tells us later in John's Gospel that his whole purpose of coming into the world was that people might know life in all its fullness. That is, that those who believe in him would have their lives enhanced. Life would be more as it's meant to be. Life that one day will result in full life forever, in the presence of the God who made us and loves us. This first sign then reminds us that Jesus' work in the world is to bring about positive change, and that Jesus does that by reconnecting people with God. He transforms the ordinary into life more as it's meant to be, because we're in relationship with the God who has made us. Now, people often think that Christianity is fundamentally about rules and restrictions and rituals and the like, when in fact the mission of Jesus has a rather different focus. A church in a large cosmopolitan international city seeking to share the good news with many who have a rather negative view of the Christian faith has the following on its website. The message is first and foremost about transformation, a whole new way of life. It is about people being individually renewed by God, Christian celebration and living, as well as serving the needs of others in the community and the wider world. So just as he turned water into fine wine, so Jesus works to transform individuals and through them, communities and beyond. Now that this is the meaning of the sign is illustrated just before the account of the wedding at Cana. In chapter 1 of John's Gospel, he tells us that Andrew and his brother Simon Peter find new life in Jesus the Messiah. And then Philip and Nathanael realize that Jesus is the one foretold by the Old Testament law and prophets. He is the Son of God and King of Israel. And they begin a new life as they put their trust in him. And then in the next chapter, after the account of the wedding, we read of the learned religious leader Nicodemus finding that he needed a new spiritual birth if he was to see the kingdom of God, something available through Jesus and the work of his Holy Spirit. Well, the transformation Jesus brings about affects every area of human life, how we view ourselves, our relationships, our attitude to work. When they're centered on Jesus, all these things have a different perspective and a different purpose. Jesus takes, as it were, the water of the ordinariness of life and he enhances it, transforms it into vintage wine of life that is becoming more what it's meant to be and one day will be fully what it's meant to be at that heavenly wedding feast that Jesus speaks of elsewhere. Jesus' first sign, then, is a pointer to the transforming reality because of the uniqueness of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, God made man. Jesus, whose power is at work today, transforming lives for his glory. But how is this sort of transformation possible? Well, Jesus' sign of turning water into wine reminds us, secondly, that Jesus brings cleansing. Now, these days, people can spend thousands of pounds on a wedding, or more accurately, a wedding reception. Of course, the wedding itself doesn't cost that much. According to one source I saw that last week, the average cost of a UK wedding is now £18,000. No wonder people make jokes to me about having three daughters. Well, in many contemporary weddings, every detail is meticulously planned for months, even years. And every item is specifically chosen, often with, it seems, no expense spared. Well, at this wedding in Cana, the only objects that we really hear about associated with the wedding reception are 6 stone water jars. Now, these large containers that Jesus asked to be filled with water on that wedding day in Galilee were a symbol of the old order described in the Old Testament. So, verse 6. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. So you can imagine, when that, there was a huge amount of water in these containers, and they were used in ritual washing ceremonies. See, the people were rightly aware of their spiritual uncleanness before a holy, pure God. And they knew they needed forgiveness. And so they were encouraged to undergo these purifying rites to remind them that they needed to be forgiven. The same was illustrated in the system of sacrifices that took place in the temple in Jerusalem. Now Jesus is here at the wedding and he makes use of these jars full of water to give us a powerful picture of true cleansing that he can bring about. The water is turned into choice wine. Instead of the old order of regulations and ceremonies, Jesus is going to bring about the reality to which those things just pointed forward. That is that guilty people can be made new, washed fully, and made spiritually clean before God. In Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Messiah, the Son of God, the old order is being transformed. In Jesus, the new and better order has arrived. Jesus turning the water into wine is a sign that in and with him, God's new kingdom rule is being established. A rule where those who come to Jesus can be truly cleansed and brought into a relationship with God. As John has already put it in the introduction to his book, The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, what if you noticed that slightly surprising conversation between Jesus and his mother Mary in the account of the wedding? It's there in verse 3. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to Jesus, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." See, Jesus in some ways has to correct his mother, who perhaps merely wants to address the embarrassment caused by the wine running out. But as Jesus actually does that, he yet sees an opportunity in the situation to point beyond the current problem of the wine running out at the wedding to the ultimate wedding feast that he later speaks of, that feast, that wedding feast that will ultimately come about in heaven. And that will come about because Jesus did come to his hour. Now, that idea of the hour, Jesus's hour, is something that crops up several times in John's gospel. And it refers particularly to his death on the cross, something that we recall especially this morning as we share bread and wine in Holy Communion. And then, of course, Jesus not only died, but he was raised, he was exalted to heaven, and one day will return in glory. So this gift of cleansing that Jesus makes possible through his death is pointed to in the use of these water jars. And it's also hinted at in the words that John the Baptist speaks about Jesus that are recorded just before the wedding. So back in chapter 1 of John, we read, John looks at Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And it's also pointed to in Jesus' action after the wedding reception, when he went up to Jerusalem and he drives out of the temple, the place of sacrifice, those who were abusing it. So we see the old order is changing. In Jesus, there is now one who, as our reading from Hebrews makes clear, is himself the true sacrifice, the one who can bring about an eternal redemption. He is the true sacrifice who shed blood so much more than the Old Testament sacrifices, purifies our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, this cleansing pointed to in this sign is vastly superior to anything that happened in the Old Testament. Then, ritual washing and animal sacrifices need to be repeated time and time and time again. By contrast, Jesus' death was once for all who put their trust in him. He has made possible full and free forgiveness when we rely on him. So Jesus didn't come then to merely sort out a wedding feast from failure or even just to cure sick people. He came to fulfill a great rescue mission that brings about real, lasting cleansing to the undeserving. Something that they might know forgiveness and life with God. Turning water into wine is, if you like, a curtain raiser for that great work that he came to bring about. Now, maybe you're here at All Saints this morning and you know that you still need to receive and experience that cleansing and transformation yourself. Well, why not use this service of Holy Communion that centres on Jesus and his death in place of guilty rebels, in order to come to Jesus, to open yourself up to him, to recognise your need for him of forgiveness and your need for him to be the centre of your life. But perhaps you're here and you need to be encouraged to see the whole of your life more in the perspective of the glorious Jesus. By his undeserved grace, you have been given a life that is being transformed. Well, let that reality affect the situations you face in your ordinary life, that you might better appreciate the transformation and the cleansing that Jesus brings. And maybe you need to be challenged to pray for those you know who aren't yet Christians and believe that Jesus can bring cleansing even to such people as those who, humanly speaking, seem very unlikely to have much interest in him. W.E. Sangster was a northerner, but he became well known for his work as a preacher in London in the middle of the last century. Now, Sangster loved to tell the story of a factory worker that he knew. The man was regularly harassed by his co-workers because he didn't get drunk, he never gambled, and always spoke of the Bible with great respect. "If you believe the Bible," they said with scorn, "you must believe that water was turned into wine." "I believe more than that," the worker said, turning his mind back to his pre-Christian years. "I might not myself have seen water turned into wine, but I have seen beer turned into furniture, betting slips turned into food, and a woman miserable because she was married to a compulsive gambler made happy because her man was changed before her eyes." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory. Glory as the one who brings transformation through cleansing. And John says the disciples who saw it recognized at least something of what that sign pointed to, and they believed in him. Well, as we hear this account this morning, how do we respond? Let's be quiet and then we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. And we pray that you would indeed help us to see more of his glory and put our faith in him and continue to believe in him, that our lives would show more of this transforming power that he brings about. And we ask for Jesus' sake.